Hello there, this is Dave Allen from Maximum Aggressions, and again, it's just me. Well, I've been busy. I'm getting the book out. I've got a book which I've actually just got onto the Amazon bookstore yesterday called Geek Photography. And it's about, it's kind of like there to help you get your mojo back when you've kind of lost your mojo after you've maybe got a bit fed up with photography, or you maybe just, you still want to do photography, but your camera's been stuck in the drawer for a wee while and you haven't managed to get it out. And you just sort of want a bit of an impetus, bit of a sort of push, a bit of a kick at the bottom to get you out with your camera again. And that's kind of like what this book's kind of for, really. Well, it's looking at a few things as well. I mean, I've gone over to the mirrorless cameras with the NEX6, and I love it because it's so much lighter and smaller than the Canon 600D I used to carry around. And so it's great to be able to sort of talk about that. And well, I think the mirrorless cameras, or the EVIL cameras, that's the electronic viewfinder, interchangeable lenses, why they are the future, I think, and why these big old SLRs are going to go the way of the dinosaur at some point in time, because they're just too big and heavy to carry, and with the technology and the way it's changing, well, it's just the way things go, isn't it? So, regards Apple. Okay, so not an awful lot happening, although back onto photography again, where there was a patent put in there where people seem to think that Apple were going after the business that the GoPro has been enjoying, and the billions of dollars and pounds or whatever they're making on selling those lovely little cameras. I'd like one myself, actually. There's actually quite a lot of competition in the market. You even see one or two of these, sort of no-brand marks, no brand names coming out with similar sorts of cameras that do a similar sort of job. But GoPro have the big name. So, there you go. That's one bit of Apple news this week. Not much else happening with Apple, really, because we're just waiting for the watch to come out, I suppose. And the other thing is, all the Mac podcasts, the other Mac podcasts, not this one, but all they're doing is just talking about things that haven't actually happened yet. We know that the watch is coming out, so it's valid to talk about it. And I want one. And the what else? Oh yeah, people are talking about this MacBook 12-inch that's coming out, and speculating as to how many ports it's not going to have, and speculating about this possible rumored iPad Pro. Well, I mean, why don't these bloody Mac podcasts just talk about what's actually sort of there, and rather than, I mean, I know it's a bit desperate when you've got a news program and there's no news out there, but I don't know, my view on these things is that if you've got a news program and there's no news, well, find something else that's interesting to talk about that's going on. I mean, you could do something, well, okay, well, it's time of the year when nothing's happening, and let's have a series about something like a new application that's come out, like this Affinity Designer. This is a really good application, and I think it's taking the Mac illustrating design and creativity sort of applications on the Mac by storm. I've got it, I really like it. It was €45 for me to buy, so it was cheap enough compared to the money you'd have to pay out to use Adobe products. It's got a lot of stuff in there that I really like, and I really have enjoyed using it. In fact, mentioning the book again, I actually used it to create the book cover for my geek photography book. Mentioning my book again, my geek photography book, let's say what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to go to Amazon and do a search for it. In fact, what I'll do is I'll put a link to this in the show notes as well anyway. And what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to go to the site, go to, especially over this weekend when I'm going to be giving this book away for free. If you're interested in photography, or even if you're not interested in photography, can you do me a favour by going to my book, downloading it and leave a review? You don't have to know much about photography. You don't even have to be interested in photography. But just go there and leave a review, because you know what it's like with Amazon. They have these algorithms, and it gets more sort of into the public eye, and they're more likely to promote it if there's a lot of reviews there, because they see that there's been a lot of downloads and people interested in it. And it would do me a big, big favour if you could just go in there and leave a review. Thanks very much if you can do that for me. Great. Last week, or maybe it was a week and a half ago or so, Marco Armand, he came out with this statement saying that Apple software's gone down the tubes and it's not as good as it used to be. And do you know what? Over the last week, the application that is made by Marco has been absolutely bloody rubbish. It's a bit ironic, really, isn't it? He's making this complaint about the Apple software, saying how bad it is and everything. And then over the last week, my iPhone has crashed. And it's been crashing because of Overcast, the podcast listener application. Well, I don't know. It's not good enough, really. I've been sort of walking down the road with my earphones stuck in there. I'm walking the dog. And I want to have something to listen to while I'm walking and enjoy myself. And I mean, walking's great, but it's even more pleasant if you've got something to listen to. I get maybe sort of 500 metres down the road and I've got Overcast listening to some podcasts about this and whatever else, and the app crashes. I get the Apple screen of death. I suppose it's a bit like the Windows screen of death, but less blue. So anyway, so what's happening is that it's not complete to the crash, as it were, as much as I don't have to reset up the lock for the SIM card. I just have to unlock again with the passcode for the system, which again is a bit of a nuisance. I mean, of course, I can't do it with just using a fingerprint. So I have to do a full sort of putting in the password. And for about 5 minutes, maybe even 10 minutes, I am left without a podcast listener application. In fact, I can't use anything on the phone. I'm using Map My Walk to track my progress with my exercise, and that stops working as well. So it is kind of annoying. And this must have happened 5-6 times. I should have learned my lesson, really, I suppose, and got myself a different application to listen to podcasts while this problem's been going on. But it took me a while to work out, first of all, where the problem was actually sort of occurring. And I think Marco's been aware of this anyway, because of the fact that I see that he's rushing through an upgrade over the on the Apple iTunes sort of thing to get upgrades out as soon as possible. So he knows about this problem, and it's got a new system, not like a new version application there now. And hopefully it's going to be sorted out. In fact, one of the times that the application crashed on me, it did say that it was an audio problem. I was doing it. But normally don't get any sort of idea as to where the problem is. But this time it sort of gave me a clue. So Marco Armand, instead of spending time writing blog posts complaining about how bad Apple software has got over the last while, just spend the time sort of getting the bugs out your own stuff before you put it out there and inflicting it upon us users. The application is still a good application. I still like the fact that you've got this thing where it searches for the quiet moments. I did a bit of a pause there, just a bit of a test. So where you have the quiet moments, where you've got silence there, it will jump across those silence bits and it will keep things going and give you the effective speed boost to your podcast that you're listening to. So that's kind of good anyway, and it's worth having it for that, because it means you can get through listening to podcasts quicker. And it does have that speed boost thing anyway, where you can say that you want to be listening to it at 1.2 or 1.5. It depends on which podcast you're listening to. Some podcasts, say for instance if you're listening to Alison Sheridan, she talks quickly anyway, so maybe you want to slow her down. If you're listening to other podcasts, like the one with Jeff Gamert in it and Brian Chaffin, the Apple Context Machine, well, that one, I'd suggest you want to run that a little bit faster, because it's kind of a bit of an easygoing, shall we say. It's a nice little podcast, good to listen to. It's sometimes nice to have different points of view, different approaches to doing podcasts. My podcast, for instance, you might get away with running it a bit slower, because I tend to talk a bit fast anyway, a bit like Alison. Well, okay, I'm a bit of a one-track record this podcast, because I'm going to talk about books again. Well, why not? I've got a book out that's just been put out there, the Geek Photography book, as I told you about already. But I've also got another book which I'm just about to pull the trigger on, bite the bullet, and throw into the Amazon App Store. It's the one about, it's a writer's, Geek Writer's Workflow. That's what I'm calling it. And I'm going to do another version of the cover for it in Affinity Designer, because, as I say, I really like that application. It's going well. And I've got to do one more sort of read-through. Well, I'm kind of half through the read-through, where I'm just going through to make sure I've got all the ducks in place, all the ducks in a row, as they say, and everything's tickety-boo with it. This book is kind of like my sort of main book, really, more so than the photography book. The photography book, well, that started off as some articles that I had already done on spondicious.com and also in various other photography-based blogs that I run. And I added a few articles, chapters to it that haven't been seen anywhere else. I've also got links to some of the video tutorials that I've done for articles, for chapters that are about aperture, for instance, and also using Photo Sweeper and using other applications like Intensify Pro. And another one about how to use an application like Hugin, I don't know how you're supposed to pronounce that, where you stitch photographs together to make a panorama. So that's a couple of links in that. Anyway, back to the writer's workflow. Well, I write a lot. I enjoy writing. And that's why I'm going to sort of turn my writing into books now, because, well, there's not much money to be made in blogging, really, because there's an awful lot of Mac bloggers out there anyway. So I've got these books out. The first one is the that I've got out there is the photography one. I thought that the writer's, gig writer's workflow was going to be first out because it was so close there. And then I put it away for about a week because I had visitors and didn't get much done to it. And when I got started again, I picked up the photography one and I found that was actually quite close to being ready. And in fact, I should have had that on the store maybe a week or 2 weeks ago, even far back as Christmas time, I should have had that ready for sale. But you know how it is with these things. You have Christmas coming up and New Year's, and then I had a week of visitors here, and it's kind of nice to have things sort of back in ordinary sort of land again, where things are sort of, you know, I'll get up and I'll take the dog for a walk, listen to my podcasts, and come back in and sit down at my Mac, and I'll do my stuff using ScreenFlow. That's got a new version out. I'll use ScreenFlow to make some screencasts about some of the products that I look at. Like lately, I've been sort of looking at a Hemingway app. Again, this is a writer's app, and this is covered in my book. And it's a super little app, and it wasn't expensive to buy either. I don't know how much it was now, I can't remember. It's something like maybe 6 or 7 euro to buy. And what it does is that it analyses your writing, and it's called Hemingway because Hemingway, he was famous as a writer for making books which are easy to read, simple, clear sentences. And that's the sort of thing that I'm looking for in my books. So as part of my writer's workflow, what I do is I sort of I do the sort of research first of all and get things stuck into a mind map. I do that on the iPad as well as on the Mac as well with iThoughts and iThoughts X. And then from there, I sort of move on to some outlining. And the book started off with me sort of checking out all these different outlining applications that you can get. I mean, you've got the one from Omni Outliner. Omni Focus, which is great. And I looked at Omni Outliner because, I mean, obviously you want to have the best tools for the job. And while it's a good tool, it's just too expensive for what it does. And to be honest, Scrivener, well, that's the writer's application of choice for a lot of authors. And if you're using Microsoft Word to do your writing, well, what are you playing at? Get Scrivener and do the job properly. That's what I say. Because you've got stuff in there where you can have part of your screen, you have a split screen, where you can have your writing over on one side, you can have your research over on the other. And basically you can sort of do all your stuff. Anyway, I've digressed slightly. I've done a bit of a Ronnie Corbett there. I'm sort of going off down a rabbit hole and digressing. But with Scrivener, you've got outlining tools in there. So to a certain extent, what you could do is you could just do all of your writing, research and ideas, sort of mangling and noodling and brainstorming in the mind map tool. Get the OPM out of that and put it straight into Scrivener. Or you can transfer it into Scrivener using Markdown. That goes in quite nicely as well. And once you've got it into Scrivener, you can sort of move chapters up and down. You can delete chapters. You can make certain topics to be child topics of other topics. So that you've got your chapters, you've got your main headings for your chapters, and maybe some subheadings after that. And all you've got to do then is to basically sort of jump in there and to start writing, and the book almost writes itself to a certain extent. Well, that's kind of like my process, and that's what this Geek Writer's workflow is going to be all about. And I say that's going to be up on the Amazon store quite soon. And then the next book that I've got to get started on, well, it kind of depends really, because I've got one that started already. I've done 13,000 words on a book about life logging, because I thought it'd be quite interesting. And I might sort of put that one out. I've got quite a lot of words done for that already. But I do get an awful lot of interest in encryption. I don't know if you're using encryption for your emails yet, but if you're not, you should. Because if you don't and you're sending emails out without using encryption, it's the same as if you were writing your private details, your banking information or whatever else you're putting into emails, and you're sticking it onto the back of a postcard, sticking it into a postbox, and you know, anyone can read it as it journeys its way through the postal system. I use PGP or GPG, the free version of it. I also have certificates, which I got from StartSSL. And I say, the GPG, it's really easy to use once you get your head around the public key and the private key pair thing. And some people do kind of struggle with it a bit. And I get people asking me, how do I do this? And they send emails to me and I send emails back to them. Quite often I find what people have the most problem with is that they sort of want to send me an email and they think, OK, let's use a public key. So they use their public key and they should be using my public key to send an encrypted email to me. So I get an email that's got something encrypted and I can't read it. But I mean, it's an easy sort of thing. It's an easy mistake to make when you're not quite sure how the encryption thing works. So that's one end of encryption. And of course, I mean, with GPG and PGP, you can use the same system to encrypt your files. So, for instance, you can just go into Finder, use the right click and go to services, which comes with GPG tool suite, which puts everything in there. You might have to go into the system preferences, go to the keyboard and go to services. And there's a whole thing in there where you can set up how things work in your Finder for some of these services. And if you just click on all of them, if you don't know which ones to do, then when you click on a file with the right click, two finger tap on my trackpad for me. I love my trackpad. So what you can do is you can basically choose then to encrypt file. And then you choose the public key that you want to encrypt it with. Now, in this case, if it's a file that is for yourself that you want to encrypt, that you can decrypt at a later stage yourself, you've got to use your own public key. If you're sending that file to somebody else, then what you do is you use their public key. If you want to be able to decrypt it yourself at a later stage, you know, maybe it's a file you've created and you want to sort of send it to someone encrypted, but you also want to be able to decrypt it yourself. Maybe you're going to sort of encrypt it and then delete the original, which you can do. So what you're going to do then is you're going to include yourself in the recipients. So then you sort of encrypt it with the two public keys. So somebody else's and your own. And then at a later stage, you will be able to decrypt. And that's the way, same way it works when you're doing an email as well. So that's a bit of encryption there. I say the other encryption I've got is with certificates. So I got them from StartSSL. I did get one from Commodore, but I didn't find it quite as easy to set up as I did with StartSSL. Anyway, these certificates, you kind of have to prove to StartSSL who you are. They give you the certificate, and it's valid for 1 year, and it's free. It's quite a good system, but you know, I think GPT's just got the edge for me because the fact that it's a bit more useful. You can use it for decrypting and encrypting files, and you can also set a key without an expiration date, or say you want to have it set for 2 years or for 5 years, or you might want to just set it for 6 weeks and have it as a bit of a throwaway key. It's up to you, but it's got that bit of extra sort of utility in there for encrypting stuff. You can also use encryption to sign things, so this is important too. A lot of people don't really realize this, but if you're sending something apart from encrypting it, you want to have people know that it is from you. So you can sign it with one of your private keys. That doesn't mean you give your private key to them. It just means that you've signed it and so they know that it's coming from you. What people do is to, if they want to be really sure about this, with public key and private key encryption, the way that it works, is that you might have a key party. I don't know what they call it, or a public key party, and where you're actually sort of maybe gather in person, or you could gather in maybe a chat room where you've got end-to-end encryption, or you could say you know that this person that you want to have encrypted messages sent one to another is you actually go to something like a Skype, because that's got encryption end-to-end, or you could use FaceTime, that's got encryption end-to-end. And so you could send your keys between each other, and you'll know if you're talking to the person, you know it's them, and you know that the key that they're sending you is the key, the correct key. So that's what signing's all about. Anyway, that's going to be my next book probably, and we'll see. I might leave the life logging one till after I've got the encryption one done and dusted it and out on the store there. Well, that'll do for the podcasting for the moment, because I've got lots to do. I've got this other book to finish off. I've got some bit editing left to do on it. And I've got to invite a lot of people to have a look at my book this weekend and hopefully leave some reviews for it. That's my plan for today. So I'll talk to you again next week, and hopefully next week I shall have some time during the week there to interview somebody and get somebody else on the show. I've got a few guests that are lined up. They're buying new Macs at the moment, and as soon as they've got themselves sorted out, they're going to come on the show and tell us how things have changed since the last time I talked to them. So this is Dave Allen for Maximum Aggressions. I'll talk to you again very soon indeed. Bye-bye now. We'll be right back.